All right, so we're going to go right into our teaching. So tonight we're going to talk about the secrets to a successful prayer life. Secrets to a successful prayer life. By the grace of God, we're going to cover five areas that we need to understand and comprehend. And so we've got some theme scriptures we want to convey to you. First is for Luke 11:1. Out of the New Living Translation, it says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And so prayer, learning to pray is not automatically acquired once you're a Christian. You have to be taught to pray. And so we want that to be the anthem or theme of your heart, that you will always be in a posture every Wednesday night for the next couple of months. Lord, teach me to pray, how to pray. Amen. And so improvement in prayer is our goal. So this is the call to pray and learn how to pray more effectively. Because God is calling us. We've shared before in previous nights and Sundays that God is calling us to a higher order of prayer. Yes. And a deeper dimension of prayer, as we shared on Thursday mornings, a deeper dimension. Why is that? Because we have to prepare for the next great move of God. If we don't prepare, we'll be unprepared when God moves and manifests in great and glorious ways. Amen. Amen. All right, so that's a big one. Okay, John 15:7. We've taken it out of the Passion Translation. But if you will live in life union with me, New King James says, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you. But he says, if you will live in life union with me, and my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. So we have to understand that these are the conditions in which to pray. Jesus was laying out the conditions, two major conditions. Prayer for an unbeliever or not a person who's not born again is in only one framework. That's the prayer of salvation. They don't generally have the covenant with God of answered prayer. They don't have a covenant guarantee of answer prayer. So someone who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and personal Savior and doesn't know God or in the family of God, they can't just randomly pray. Because Jesus said God doesn't hear a sinner pray. But if they ask in the context of repentance and make Jesus their Lord and Savior and they become saved, then, of course, that's the prayer is heard. Amen. Amen. That's heard. So that's the only prayer. So the conditions, he said, first, we are to be a born-again believer and in fellowship with Christ. It's hard to pray when you're out of fellowship or you're in sin. Amen. So you got to be a believer, but you got to have no unconfessed or unrepented sin. When you're in sin or have repentance, and we've all been there, so we can't look like we're holier than thou, we got to deal with the sin problem. And as we learn and continue to grow in this, if we've been bathing in worry and anxiety and stress for 3 days or 3 months, I mean, we've got to deal with that sin. We got to repent for worrying. If we've been discouraged, for example, when the Bible does not give us permission to be discouraged, if we allow ourselves to get into depression and yield to fear in that regard, then we got to repent for that. We got to repent for being discouraged and repent for. And so what does that do? That puts a gag order on the devil, but it also gets us in right standing with God. Amen? Repentance is legal. And that's why I say you got to keep your repenter very close, because you got to make, I'm a Christian, but you got to make sure I'm in fellowship with God. Amen. I don't have any unforgiveness in my heart. I don't have any aughts against people. I'm not running around with red eyes of envy, jealousy, strife. You know what I'm talking about. So you got, he said, if you abide in me. That means if you live in life union with me. See, sin breaks fellowship, as we said, not relationship per se. You can be a Christian, but out of fellowship with God. Well, you need to get the fellowship right. And you see all these people wanting prayer, and they don't have the first things first, which is first things first is get right with God. Go back to God. Give your life back to the Lord. That's the condition you need to be in. The second condition, he says, God's word must live powerfully within us. So how do you know the word's living in you? Well, it's coming out of you. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? Prayers of faith, prayers of petition, prayers of agreement are based upon the legality and authority of his word. We're not praying somebody else's word. We're praying his word. We're praying his answers. And then, of course, we pray in line with the word according to the rules of his word. So that's legal, praying. Prayer is legal business. Prayer is not just communication with God and fellowship with God, but prayer is also conducting business with heaven. Business with God. Okay? 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. So these are the pillars in which we have the four table legs that we're establishing this Wednesday night, rekindle the fire, return to prayer purpose. All right? 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. And let me say something about confidence, because the confidence needs to be restored in some cases in our lives. Amen. That means we don't need to be talking about how many unanswered prayers that we have listed. And all we're saying is we're expressing our lack of confidence in prayer and our lack of confidence in God, who is the prayer answerer. As a Christian believer and Christ follower, answered prayer is guaranteed because of the covenant. God didn't say, maybe I'll answer half your prayers. Over the next 2 months, we want to get to a place where we're completely and fully confident. Amen. In the God who is our prayer answerer. Amen. Amen? Amen. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask, because this is conditional as well. If we ask anything according to his will, anything. How would you define anything? We would define anything as somebody write you a check and say, put whatever you want in the amount. Anything. And so we need to be walking around here like we know God can do and give us anything he's promised in his word. Amen? And so we pray that promise and remind him of that promise, and we stand on that promise with our faith, and we know that anything, everybody say anything, anything we ask according to his will, he hears us. So prayers that are heard qualify to be answered. See, God doesn't hear anything but his word. Now, he feels your tears. He's touched by your tears, but he's moved by your faith. And your faith must be in his word. Faith must be in him. In other words, so we ask according to his will, he hears it. So if I ask according to his word, God is hearing it. I am confident that he's hearing it. Amen? And he said that we know that he hears us. Now, this is absolute stuff. Whatever we ask, we know. We don't just wonder. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we can shout the victory. We can just rejoice and say it's already done. The petition will be granted. The prayer will be answered. And we're fully persuaded and fully confident of this. All right? So this is the confidence and compassion of prayer. It's confidence on our side. It's compassion on God's side. It's confidence on our side. And so expect to grow in your prayer confidence. We would also say it this way as well. Your prayer confidence, your prayer competence, and your prayer capability. Confidence helps your heart be assured that I'm just not wasting my breath. I'm not just blowing smoke up in the air and hoping they reach past the ceiling. I am confident when I ask my Father, according to his will, it will be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times, New Living Translation, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So this is kind of a more of an intercessory flavor. So this is this higher order because we need to be praying more for each other and the saints. All right. Passion Translation says, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. So we need to become understanding or more knowledgeable of the arsenal of prayer. We've listed the forms and types of prayer there in that column, in that chart down there. And you have it there for you. So that's 10 different forms or types of prayer that we could possibly use depending on the circumstance or the situation. Amen. So this is the continuation and the constants of prayer. That's why the Bible tells us pray always. Pray without ceasing. Right? So we ought to be praying all the time. So there's times when you need to switch over to the prayer of faith. There's other times when you need to touch and agree. And there's times where, we pray corporate prayer every Thursday morning, which we'll do tomorrow. And then prayer of commitment. That means there are times when you have to use this one and wear this one out because you're dealing with a lot of issues, worries, anxieties, and cares, which trying to get you into fear. And you got to cast your cares on the Lord. Well, you can't pray the prayer of faith without casting your cares. So you got to know, I got to use this one first before I use the prayer of faith. All right? So here's some of the prayer sequences. Number one, pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Let's go to John 16, 23 through 24. John 16, 23 through 24. John 16, 23 to 24. Here it is. And at that time, King James says, in that day, you won't need to ask me for anything. Now, you got to understand the backdrop and the framework in which this Jesus is talking. He's talking to his disciples. He's telling them, I'm going to make a shift in your prayer life. And he said, I'm getting ready to leave. So in that time, when I'm gone, you will ask me nothing. Now, up to that time, they had asked him stuff. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father. So he's shifting it from him to the Father. In my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24. Up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. Because they were using their prayer to the Father like he taught them in Luke 11 and others, where we call it the Lord's Prayer. Most people call it the Lord's Prayer. But you notice that's not praying in the name of Jesus. They're just saying, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can't use that prayer now. That prayer is expired. You can only use it as a model, but you can't use it for effective prayer. That's why he said up till now. In that day, he said, until now, you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So this, I know this is a little technical, but the rule is this. We are to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We exalt Jesus. We thank Jesus. We praise and worship Jesus. And we honor Jesus. But we don't pray to Jesus. And so if you're in a context, if you forget and become forgetful and unfocused in your prayer, some people pray to Jesus. Jesus said, don't pray to me. That's what he just said. We just read that, right? Yes. Don't ask me nothing. Why is that? Because Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. He's in the mediatory office. He's the mediator of the New Testament or New Covenant. Now, you got to understand some legal terminology here. Mediator means I'm the one that go between. And my name represents everything I am, everything I was, and everything I'll ever be. Is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in his name. His name has been given legally to us. Like a lawyer would draft a power of attorney for, let's say, a husband giving power of attorney to his wife to conduct business on his behalf. Does everybody follow that? What does the name of Jesus do for you and me in prayer? It's our power of attorney given by Jesus, our Lord, and as a mediator, that gives authenticity and authorization for our prayers to be granted. Okay? And so it's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the only authorized name to use to access the Father and receive answers to our prayers. The only name. Some religions, as we all know, pray to different saints that have gone to be the Lord. You can't pray to the saints. Their name is not worth anything in prayer. So don't fall into the trap of letting them pray to that name or just you getting into that trap of praying in that name. That prayer is not good. Amen. That's not scriptural, New Testament biblical. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We don't pray to a person. Some people do that. They pray to a person or a head leader. You don't pray to a person. You pray to who? The Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. I know it sounds simple, but it gets very confusing out there when you mix in all the other religions. They don't pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's why other religions don't have the right perspective and position on Jesus. You know, they either say he's Jehovah, Jehovah's just one God, there's not a son of God, there's not, you know what I'm talking about, not to get it all. So the name of Jesus is the only name with authority to deal with the enemies that we face. He said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. In today's Bible reading, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, he's not talking about ask him, he's talking about demanding, commanding, and claiming stuff. He's not talking about prayer. He's talking about binding and loosing or dealing with the enemy. You got to use that name. You can't go in Paul's name or your own name. You got to say, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off my money. That's what he's talking about. So even sometimes we'll read the Bible and it will mislead us if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit and think that, well, he said, ask in my name. No, he wasn't talking about prayer. Petitioning. Here he's talking about prayer petitioning, John 16. Today's Bible reading, John 14, he's talking about commanding, demanding, claiming. Because he's Lord. And he says, you deal with stuff down here, I'll take care of stuff in the spirit realm.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so that day does not mean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. We must realize before Jesus departed and went to the cross, he changed his disciples' prayer life. So you can't take Old Testament pattern of praying and apply it to New Testament. You have to understand that basic premise and basic principle. All right. That day represents when Jesus was raised from the dead and when Jesus was exalted as the great our great high priest. Remember, we don't pray to a human priest. We have a great high priest. Where is he at? In heaven. And our mediator. He's the mediator of a covenant. He's also our intercessor, legal term, advocate, legal term, and Lord. Amen. So he's an attorney for our defense, but he also mediates the covenant. The Lord's Prayer does not work now as in this day. So it's changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Second point, believe that you receive those things when you pray. Now, Mark 11:24. Let's look at it. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Now, he set the table for us. You got to pray what? How do you pray? Everybody say, to the Father. In whose name? His name. So you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And whatever things you ask in prayer, when you pray, excuse me, believe, so this is the faith condition, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is a principle of the prayer of faith. This is a principle of the prayer of faith. Now, what do you use the prayer of faith for? To get stuff, to change stuff. We need to be wearing this prayer out. Because every day, even in the Lord's Prayer, when he told him, he said, give us this, what, day, our daily. So why leave the house without getting stuff or using your faith to change stuff? You don't ask, you don't get. But you got to ask in faith. Now, what does he say in Matthew 21? Let's look at Matthew 21:22. Thank you, John. And whatever things you ask in prayer, so you're still in prayer, right? You're supposed to ask when you're praying, believing, there's that condition of faith now, you will receive. What do we believe with? Come on, class. With our heart. We have faith in our heart. We believe it. We lay hold on it. Believing is also connotates taking it. You take it when you're praying. You believe that you receive them. Amen. So rule, when you are praying to receive something or get something, believe that you receive them and you should have them. You don't keep praying until you get it. Now, this is another mistake people make. And I know it's technical, but if you keep praying about it, let's just say the Holy Spirit's led you to use the prayer of faith for your healing. Now, I say that, and I preface it by that, because you need to check in with the Holy Spirit, which is the next one. You need to check in with the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, the next or third one. You need to check in with the Holy Spirit to find out, okay, how do we get this thing taken care of? Because you can intercede for people that's sick, and the Lord may tell you to do it that way through the Holy Spirit. But the Lord may tell you, use the prayer of faith. I'm not going to bring a special manifestation. I'm not going to even have the pastor lay hands on you. You just believe and receive your healing. Now, that could be one of the ways he leads you. But you got to know that if it's a prayer of faith, I got to believe that I receive. Amen? And I have to pray, look at my finger, once. You pray once, you thank and praise and rejoice a whole lot after you pray. You don't go around still texting and talking to people and say, pray for me. If you prayed right here in this church, stop praying, start praising. Okay? So when do you believe that you receive them? Before you have them. Before you have them. When do you have them? After you believe you receive them. He said, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you're praying, you believe that you receive. Then you believe you got it before you get it. So here's what the devil will do to help you undo it. Did you get it yet? you better have the Holy Spirit flowing up through your tongue. Because you can nullify that prayer. Now, why is that such a big deal? That's a big deal because unanswered prayer crushes your confidence. It crushes your confidence. When you fail to see an answered prayer come through, then your confidence gets so crushed to where you almost not ever praying about anything. You living a life drifting, thinking whatever comes, come what may. And you're almost angry at God because, you know, I prayed 10 times before and it never worked. God wants to fix that in our lives, praise God, over the next 10 months, or 2 months, excuse me. Amen? So when do you believe that you receive them? Before you have them. So when somebody asks you again, did you get your healing? Because the family members are real good about asking you and challenging you. Did you get that thing? What are you going to say? You better have the Holy Spirit flowing up through your tongue, like I said. He said, yeah, that's mine. I have it now. I believe I received it. And I'm thanking God for it. Amen. Or if they open to it, you tell them, hey, I got it in the Spirit when I prayed. The answer's on the way. Amen. Amen. Naturally, I'm expecting to manifest at any point in time now. Amen. And I'm thanking God for it. Amen. Are you listening to me? We got to be that almost deliberate. Because the devil will try to undo our prayers by getting us to talk and say bad words, wrong, unfaith words. So, example, we're praying prayer of faith. We're using this one of these prayers we use for healing. Now, let's look at James 5, 14 and 15. Now, this is a big one because I need to get you motivated to you always praying again. As you come in the church saying, Pastor, look at all these answers. Pray for this day, answer that day. Pray for this day, answer that day. One by one, start getting stuff and changing stuff. Amen. And receiving stuff. Yes. Are you listening to me? Amen. All right, let's go James 5:14. Here it is. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for their... Now, this is one way. This is not the only way for healing. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So notice who calls the person that's sick. Usually when a person that calls when they're sick, they're expecting. Now, when a person calls out sick, they're not expecting. Let me stomp that out right now. Because some people call out sick. Why? No lick of faith at all. You might just well start repenting. I'm calling out sick because I don't know. But if you call because you're sick, amen. You have confidence and you're expecting because I'm expecting prayers to work now. Amen. I'm expecting the healing power to be released into my spirit and affect the healing and through my body. Amen. He said, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name. There's that name again. A name of the Lord. We're praying what? In Jesus' name. Verse 15. And the prayer of what? The prayer offered in faith will save the sick or make whole. That word save means make whole the sick. And the Lord, who's going to do the healing? The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven. So you get the sin forgiven because we can make mistakes. Ate the wrong food the Lord didn't tell us to eat. Come on now. Stayed up too late and got too tired and our immune system kind of got low. And we got the flu or got, some real bad allergy or something or whatever. Amen. Amen. So the Lord will forgive those things. Isn't that good? Amen. So you got to use faith. Now, number three, forgive if you have anything against anyone. This is a big one. You can't wait till the thing piles up. You got to be instant forgiveness. Instant forgiveness. Start getting closer to that 5-second rule. The 5-second rule is instant forgiveness. Don't walk around hot and moody and mad all day. Come on now. You nullify your prayers. You neutralize your faith. Amen. This is the rule. Your faith and prayers won't work if you don't forgive. That's why it's hooked up to the faith scriptures. Let's look at Mark 11, 25 and 4. And whenever you stand praying, this is happening all while you're praying. If you have any, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not what? Neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. How do we trespass mainly? In the New Testament, we trespass because we violated the law of love. Amen. So when we violate the law of love, we step out of God and step into sin. Amen. So your faith and your prayers get undone and terminated if you hold grudges. Operating envy and strife. Can't be walking around jealous and envious of people. Amen. You yield to jealousy, harbor ill will, animosity, or get offended or bitter at others. You can't take the bait of an offense. The devil will always set traps for you and me as Christians to get offended. You can't take the bait. Amen? Amen? The people closest to you is the ones he'll use unwittingly to get you mad, get you upset, get you offended. Well, praise the Lord. See, spiritual sins get judged quickly. God don't let you get away with it. Especially if you've been around for a minute, you can't just sit there and look like a toad frog in a West Texas storm, all puffed up and swollen up because you're mad at the world. You just terminating your faith and neutralizing all your prayers. And so it just terminates your faith, torments your mind, and terrorizes your emotion. So how do we forgive? Remember, we said the steps there. We let it right in there. You got to let it drop. Leave it, let it go, and give up the resentment. Now, if you bring it back up again, you didn't leave it. You kept it. You kept a record of it. Remember, if we've been encouraging people to read verse 13, and love keeps no record of a suffered wrong. If stop record keeping wrongs. Wipe the slate clean for other people. Even if they don't ask you for forgiveness. Amen. Forgive them proactively. Say, Father, I forgive. They don't know what they did to me and know how that hurt me. And release them. Let them go in prayer. Because why? You got to get your prayers working. Amen. You got to get your faith working. So let it drop. Everybody say, let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. Give up the resentment. If you walk out of prayer and you carry it and communicate it to someone else, you didn't do it. Hallelujah, you didn't do it. So we have to base that on our choice to love and faith to forgive. It's not based on feelings. Okay? All right? So depend on the Holy Spirit to help you win your prayer life. Look at Romans 8, 26, 27. 26, 27. Is it likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses? Now, he's centering in on a weakness to pray. Every one of us have weaknesses of prayer. But the good thing is that the Holy Spirit helps us when we get weak in prayer. For we don't know how we pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit, now he searches the hearts of the mind, knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we always say, when you don't know what to do, what do? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's One of his major ministries is the ministry of revelation. That means he will show you clearly how to focus your prayers. How to pray the right way, how to say something the right way. So he's in charge of the speech department. And he knows procedure and protocol to get to your prayers urgently and sent in to the Father to get granted. He's in charge. You got to depend on him. So we have to come sometimes unlearn some of our old habits of praying just the way we are and shutting our mind down and shutting our heart, closing our heart off, not listening to the Holy Spirit. Help us in our weaknesses. Why do you pray in the Spirit? You're praying in the Spirit to get revelation, to get understanding of what needs to be taken care of. That's why he told us, when you pray in an unknown tongue, pray that you may interpret. So you got to think about, when did I interpret my prayers in the Spirit? Well, why did he say that you have to interpret? Because some things you need to understand what you're praying about. Hallelujah. Here's the rule. You can't get things done in prayer alone. Because he said, the word says, New Testament scripture now, we don't know how to pray as we ought to. So we need the dependence on the Holy Spirit. We all need help, the help of the Holy Spirit, particularly in interceding and intercessions for others. You got a family matter and a situation in your family. You can't just go bull in a china shop at it. You've got to pray in the Holy Spirit until you get a heavenly strategy on how to release your faith for their salvation or deliverance. Amen. So realize that the Holy Spirit helps us pray and doesn't do the praying for us. Praying in the Spirit brings you into victory that's already won through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Everything we need is in the Spirit. You got to look to the Lord inside. The answers you need are in the Spirit. So you got to get in the Spirit and hear the Spirit tell you what truth is in this matter. All right, last one. Build up, stir up, and charge up your faith to act and be released in prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It builds yourself up. So sometimes we need to be built up to pray. Jude 20 says, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing it by the Word of God. I like how Brother Hagin, he gave us transparency with his prayer life and his agreement with his wife, because he would tell us stories after stories of how he told Miss Aretha, I don't have the faith for that. You got to believe for that. Or, I'm not ready to pray about that yet. I got to get in faith before I pray about that yet. And some of us get out ahead of our faith. Amen. It's because we remember, you see the rule there. We need to pray, but we also remember we shouldn't pray ahead or above our faith to believe and to receive, because what we're doing is throwing Hail Marys or desperation prayers up. You can't just attack it with 100 people praying. 100 people need to be praying in faith. Or 2 people need to be praying in faith. Praise God. So you got to pray above. You can't pray ahead or pray above your faith to believe and receive what and who you're praying for. If you don't believe that wayward child or that ungodly situation of family member is going to turn around, if you don't have faith for it, don't pray yet. Amen. Get your faith built up. Amen. When I had surgery on hernia surgery. The Lord said, you're not ready yet. So I took 3 weeks and got in the Word. And I prayed in the Spirit. To what? You're praying in the Spirit in this last one to stimulate your faith, strengthen your faith, and stir up your faith to act, to be released. So you got to prepare your faith to get it. Amen. And so some of us trying to pray and thinking that we're just going to all praying in the Spirit is just, you know, intercession. But no, sometimes it's igniting your faith up. And with the Word coming, it's stirring that Word that you get in. It's giving you a light and illumination and revelation and confidence, and it's building you up. Amen. That's why you got to combine both the Word and the Spirit, hallelujah, to get the job done. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so our faith needs to be strengthened, stirred up, and stimulated to act and be released in prayer. So once we've released it, our faith, we rest in the Lord on His and on His promises. We rejoice and thank God for it, and we rely and depend on the Lord to do His part. Because when we work, God rests. When we rest, God works. We labor to enter in to the rest. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we just want to give you those five secrets tonight. We're going to spend some time praying the next 10, 11 minutes. Now, you're going to do your individual praying, okay? And so you can use the back of the notes or next to a piece of paper and write down what's the biggest bugging issue that you need to bring before the Lord. And I want you to get concept and get direction tonight on how to address that issue. Could be a financial issue, could be a relational issue, could be a family issue. Now, if you got a couple things you can think you can do, you know, you and the Lord can deal with, do it. But we're going to wait on the Lord. What we don't want is when we have these prayer times, because sometimes when family prayer, I would be wondering who's actually really praying intentionally. Because we shouldn't be wasting our breath. Amen? So if we go around and say, you know, what you praying for? You ought to be able to say, this is what I'm putting before the Lord right now. What did he say in James 5? Thank you, John. Verse 13. If any afflicted among you, let him pray. See, some people just want the Holy Spirit to do the praying, which he doesn't. He helps us pray. And some people want the pastor to pray. Which it's difficult when you've been in the kingdom for 4 or 5 years and you don't have any faith to bring to the table. Amen. Amen. You need to pray. So the word afflicted just means we're suffering evil or been ill-treated. So if you're suffering evil or being ill-treated, what is the big issues that you're dealing with? Now, if it could be one or two, now you pray about it. Amen? You talk to the Lord. Now, who are you going to talk to? You're going to talk to the Father in the name of Jesus. And if you're going to say, Father, I don't know what to do about this, but I'm asking you the help of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to reveal to me my steps, my role, my part in this big problem. He'll give you the scriptures, perhaps. He'll probably give you revelation on a step to take or an action to take, maybe some words to speak over that thing. Amen. But we're going to wait on the Lord. Amen. Till about 8 o'clock. Praise God. So wherever you want, you can stay seated or stand and walk around with your notebook, but I want you writing down and being responsive to the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. All right, guys, you play the songs for our prayer time. Hallelujah. I'll just be praying generally in the Spirit up here and just waiting with you in prayer, praise God. And then we'll just stop at the point in time. Make sure you have something to write down, where you're going to write down your biggest issue. Father God, we bring we bring our petitions, our concerns before you. You said in your word in James chapter 5 that if any man is afflicted, that includes woman, any among you afflicted, ill-treated or suffering evil, we should pray. And Father, we're praying right now. We're praying, pursuing you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said in your word in Hebrews chapter 4 that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Father, we come boldly before your throne. We enter into your presence by the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're asking for your mercy concerning the thing that we've jotted down or written down that you know is in our heart. Mercy for our faults. Mercy for our mistakes. Mercy for our missteps and misconduct and misdeeds. Father, we ask for your mercy tonight. Even being in fear and yielding to worry, yielding to the devil even, or unwitting people who were used by the devil to pull us out of our confidence and faith and trust in you. Give us mercy, Lord, mercy for that in the name of Jesus. And Father, we asking for grace to help in this time, this minute, this moment, this hour of need. We've written down our biggest, most bothering and bugging question and concern. Father God, we don't know how to go at it in prayer that's acceptable and understandable to us. So we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Help us in this weakness that we have right now. Give us guidance. Give us direction. Give us step-by-step understandable instructions. We purpose to hear. We purpose to yield. We purpose to obey everything the Holy Spirit tells us to do and to say and to pray in Jesus' name. Sekola bohorema. Makanda ramongo sikanda bahase. Mata namose kalamahada. Makosi de eto otamase. Makoda basi. Going to come around and touch you as a prayer supporter, as a helper, just to help support your prayer, your praying. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to stand up or move or anything like that. I'm just going to come around and put my hand on you and minister prayer to you. Hallelujah. You keep praying to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come
to. Don't forget to listen to your heart.
And have their
Don't forget to listen to the Holy Spirit. And jot it down once he talks to you.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, the lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for meeting my needs. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding me into all truth. I expect to be led. I expect to receive answers. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Lord. Amen. 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 Amen means so be it.